coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
And I remember sitting outside a window. It was a very thick glass. Sitting outside of that with my mom, and our oldest son was an infant at the time, talking to my dad on a little phone. And even though he could see us and we spent time with him and we talked with him, he was just almost devastated to be in that room without physical touch at all. I think about that often now as I think about people who are in that situation. I know it was so much more difficult for him.
Honey, welcome back for our discussion on solitude. We talked a lot about some of the Old Testament prophets and about Jesus and how solitude not just was important to them or a technique, but it was the very core of what it meant to be a disciple, a follower. In their cases, apostles and prophets of the living God. Mm-hmm. You want to know God, go be with him. Sometimes God says, it's too busy where you are. Come be with me over here. Mm-hmm. Let's talk and let me put your hearing aids back in so you can hear my voice again.
We've seen some beautiful things on the way to other things.
And that's what's happening to the disciples with Jesus. They're seeing the beautiful things again because they're together and their minds are released to just relax. The next thing that happens is the thing that we all remember. They showed up where they wanted to get for their vacation, and suddenly there was thousands of people waiting for them. Yeah. There was no escaping them this time. And Jesus steps out and doesn't say, wrong shore, get back in the boat, we're going somewhere else. He stepped off the boat and sees what his father has put before him and says, okay, for this moment, we'll deal with it. Thank God we had the trip, is what's probably going through his mind, because what's coming next is going to be big. It's going to be hard. And so he had compassion on all those people who were interrupting his vacation. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus did this throughout his ministry. Sometimes his father let him complete his solitude. Sometimes he did not. But he never gave up on the idea and the commitment and the devotion to being alone with his father and to being alone with his disciples. Yeah. Even when it didn't go as planned, even when it was hard, even when it was a disaster and nothing went right, he still stuck with it and kept trying and kept making room for it to happen.
Well, if you just read through the Gospels, you will see so many times that Jesus went away by himself. Yeah. He rose early in the morning and went out to a place of solitude. He spent 40 days in the desert before he began his ministry. There's so many times that he calls his disciples away. He took Peter, James, and John away to the Mount of Transfiguration, just in the Garden of Gethsemane. Taking people away, encouraging them to get away. We read through the Gospels and we see that so often. And I think, wow, if it's in there so many times, maybe we should take note of that. Yeah. That is an important part of our relationship with God, that we spend that time in solitude.
Yes. And I will also say, and I mean this from my heart here, if it doesn't go to plan, if things don't complete the way you wanted them to, even if you're frustrated coming back from vacation because everything didn't happen the way you wanted.
Sometimes we need a vacation from our vacation.
We say it often. Does that mean that we shouldn't try? Or does that mean that what little we got does not pay dividends? Mm-hmm. We do benefit, I do believe this, from the pursuit of the things that God values, even if we feel at the end of it we didn't get all we expected. And we should keep persistently going after it. Last point, Jesus, every time he went away for solitude, he came back empowered to do something that was healing. Talk about us wanting to get away. We go to restore our bodies, to be more physically fit, perhaps, to be more relaxed, to take the stress out of us for our benefit. Every time Jesus went away, it was to come back to be empowered to heal others. Mm-hmm. He already was healed in his heart. He was at peace. He kept his peace. And he went back to a world that had none. Mm. Every time he emerged from this, some miracle happened at the end of it. I don't think that's coincidence.
One of the miracles that I love that happened after that, when he went away on the mountain, after feeding the 5,000, he sent the disciples away on the boat, and he went up into the mountain to pray. And then the next morning, he walked on water. Mm. He walked across the water to the disciples. And the miracle there was that called Peter to him to walk on the water. And we see how he rescued Peter. And we know all the depths of that story as well. But I love that Jesus said, I got to go away and be with my Father. And then I'm going to walk on the water.
Yeah, that to me metaphorically means if I can really find that time, once I've been with God in a place where I felt his pleasure and I've sensed who he really is again, there's nowhere I can't go.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere. And if God says to me, go be with those people, and to get there, you're going to have to walk on a cloud. Okay, I'll walk on a cloud because you sent me there. Mm-hmm. You believe because your faith has been restored in God's capacity to bring you where he wants you to go. Every time we sit on the front burner and think about how hot it is, we never think about where God wants to take us. All we're thinking about is the pain on our backside because we're sitting on the front burner. You know, things are not on the front burner. We are. It's us that's getting fried, not the things that we're trying to fix. We're the ones being destroyed by staying too long in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why I think God calls us to that solitude, not just to preserve us, but to empower us for the things that he wants to do in us and through us. Let's talk now about the solitude article that Philip Yancey wrote that he's been so gracious to let us read on air. Again, Philip Yancey is one of the prime authors of our generation.
Mm-hmm.
He's made it real and accessible for people of all stripes. He's talked about where is God when it hurts. He's done all kinds of teaching on the things that are problematic about our faith, the things that test our faith. Where is God in those things? He writes beautifully about that. And solitude now is the question of the day. And I believe it's the big question of this whole pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get to know God in the middle of the struggle? So let's read some of the excerpts from that article.
So I'm reading from the blog post that Philip Yancey wrote. And he says, one scene captures the manifold tragedy of COVID-19 pandemic. A friend named Dan was suffering from a condition called Lewy body dementia, a brain disorder that affects thinking and reasoning as well as muscle control. Dan was once a college football hero, and he could now no longer negotiate steps or even figure out how to sit down in a chair. His wife reluctantly had to put him to a memory care facility after trying for years to care for him at home, but she visited him every day. Well, then the coronavirus hit and everything went into lockdown. The facility had to close its doors because they were protecting the residents there, which we've seen that all across the country.
They were protecting them physically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is the first order of business for a nursing home.
Right. Well, Dan's wife still visits him every day.
Right.
She goes and stands outside the window of his room and talks to him on a cell phone. And he doesn't understand why she can't come in and see him, but she continues this every day. And so that is just a really beautiful display of love. So not only is her husband in solitude, she's also in solitude because she can't be with the man she loves.
But it's not solitude we're talking about right here. It's the isolation.
Isolation.
Which is what most of the world is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So solitude is something that I think is sustaining her at this point.
He goes on to talk about statistics of illness and hospitalizations and deaths caused by the pandemic. But again, we don't know what the long-term effects are going to be of all of this, not just physical effects that COVID has had on people that have contracted this disease, but the emotional and mental and spiritual aspects, the way it's going to affect us that way, even for those of us who have not contracted this disease. So there's going to be long-term effects on it. And I think it's going to depend on how we respond personally.
Literally. I mean, you and I have both been in refugee camps throughout the Middle East and in Africa, in my case. What I've seen is how much the stress, the endocrine problems, the stress hormones, how they tamp down the immune system and the ability to recover from disease that ends up causing more and more long-term diseases like diabetes and high blood pressure and heart disease, even cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen young mothers in their 20s and 30s that are dying of cancer in the refugee camps because they've been so stressed for so long, their bodies are literally breaking down and can't fight back. That could be the end of things for us in this generation across the world because of the stress involved with dealing or at least trying to cope with the impossible. Or we could find a way through this somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I really believe that solitude comes in.
Mm-hmm. Friends, before we jump back, I just want to remind you that Compassion Radio is a communications ministry, and it depends on the faithful support of you to keep bringing inspiring stories to the air each day. Our vision partners support us monthly with gifts large and small, and make it possible for us to take you to the very front lines of faith. Whether you join our vision team or make a one-time gift, thank you for believing in and standing by this ministry. We're here to bring you real good news in every situation. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478 to make your gift and to request our special offer this month, the CD of Michael O'Brien's marvelous Crown Him music project, as our thank you. You can also text the word compassion to 53445 to give right through your phone, or visit our website, compassionradio.com. Thank you, friends, for everything you've done and what you'll do today. We love you.
Philip quotes a study cited by the Surgeon General from 2017. It says, "Loneliness and social isolation can be as damaging to health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day." And the problem is particularly acute among seniors. This is already an issue in our country, that so many seniors are isolated. They're shut-ins, people that have to stay home because of health reasons, or like my grandmother at one point in her life just couldn't drive anymore. She just didn't have the mental acuity to figure things out, and her reaction time was a lot slower. That was difficult for her. We had to make a real effort when she still lived alone on her own to spend time with her, to go and visit her. Thankfully, she had a neighbor that she could visit with. But there are so many seniors, especially, who don't have that. And now, with the pandemic, those that are in nursing homes and memory care facilities and shut-ins as well that still live in their own homes are even more isolated than they were before. And that is a real concern. So I just want to encourage our listeners, if you know someone who is a shut-in and you have a way to contact them, even just to call them on the phone, I would just encourage you to do that. Take that little minute and just call them up and give them a word of encouragement and tell them, hey, I've been thinking about you and praying for you. And I just want you to know that even though you are isolated, you're not alone.
There's no mistake in James saying that this is true religion, to take care of widows and orphans in their distress, not just to admit them to your church, not just to invest in programs that take care of the poor, but to minister to widows and orphans in their distress.
Right.
This is hands-on here. And even in COVID times, there are ways for us to be physically present, even through a pane of glass, like that first lady that Philip Yancey talks about in his article. To go be with the one you love and to love them as much and as fully as you can. Be there.
It reminded me of when my dad was at MD Anderson down in Houston, Texas, for treatments for his leukemia, which we know eventually took his life. But there was a time when they wanted to do a complete stem cell transplant in him. So they had to kill all of his marrow, his bone marrow, to then replace it. And he had to be in an isolation room for 30 days, which meant we could not go in with him. He barely had nurses in and out with him, and they were in hazmat suits, which is what a lot of people are experiencing now during COVID. And I remember sitting outside a window.
Two layers of windows.
Right. It was a very thick glass. Yeah. Sitting outside of that with my mom, and our oldest son was an infant at the time, talking to my dad on a little phone. And even though he could see us and we spent time with him and we talked with him, he was just almost devastated to be in that room without physical touch at all from his family, without anything that he could do to be with us. I think about that often now as I think about people who are in that situation. And it just breaks my heart because as difficult as it was for me, a healthy young woman at the time, to see my dad like that and not be able to be with my dad, I know it was so much more difficult for him because he didn't feel good. For one thing, he was sick, but he was separated from people that loved him. So I just have a real heart for that.
So what do we do when we can't do what we want to do?
Well, I think it goes back to what we just talked about, taking the time, making the effort to contact people that we know are in that situation. And if you don't know for sure, if you're in a situation where like, oh, you know, I really don't know any shut-ins. I don't really know anyone that is in a nursing home. Maybe just make a quick phone call to your church administrator or your church missions pastor. They might know of someone who is a shut-in somewhere that could use a phone call. Or call a local nursing home and just say, hey, I would like to encourage someone there. Is there someone there who doesn't have anyone contacting them? Can I maybe have a phone call with them? I know there's a lot of privacy laws, so you may have to navigate that some, but I think just making the effort to do that and asking God to show you what to do.
Yeah.
Asking God, asking what do you want to me to do in this situation?
But how do we do that without having spent time with him to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that comes back to the key issue of, are we really committed mm-hmm. to a relationship here, or are we just committed to solutions?
Oh, yeah.
The word we use often, especially the evangelical church, for starting our morning off right is having your devotions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a noun. It's something that is accomplished or something you can hold in your hand. I've done this thing. I now own this thing, or I've given it away to somebody else. It's a thing. So this idea of devotion seems to be hard and solid. It's the thing outside of us. You know, in the Greek, there's hardly any nouns. There's a whole lot of verbs. And so if you were talking about living out your discipleship or following Christ or going with him along the way, the word you would have used for your morning was, in my devoting. You wouldn't say you had your devotions.
Mm-hmm.
It's an active process. It was something that you would do to choose to go exercise. Exercise has become a noun more than a verb. Same idea. Are we the kind of people that really, truly want the heart of God enough to say, I'm willing to go devoting?
Needs to be a verb.
Yeah. I believe this is the time. This is an era right now that calls for verbs. Desperately. The church needs us around the world to stand strong in our commitment, our committing to them,
mm-hmm.
to show the way in humility. And we know at the heart of ourselves, we really don't have all that we need to do this. We're going to run out of strength sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us faster than others. But we don't have a God who's incapable. And if we go to him and we say, I want to spend time with you because I need not just to know who you are, what you think. I need to know what you are inside of me. I need to know your power today because I'm not sure I can get through this without you.
Right.
Lord, what do you have for me today? Can we spend time and just talk about that? In fact, I'll shut up now and let you talk.
Well, I think what you're saying has to do a lot with our attitude about isolation. We can call it isolation and go into this attitude of, I was forced into this. I don't have a choice in this.
I resent this.
I resent this. Yeah. I'm bitter about this. I'm a little upset here. We can begin that process of just going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't want it. But if we decide to change our mind about it and say, no, I'm going to call this a time of solitude, a time of rest with Jesus. Okay, so I can't leave my house and do the things that I'm used to doing. I can't go to work at my place of employment, or I can, but I have to be super careful. I have to wear a mask, or I have to, you know, social distancing is important. And that feels isolating as well. But we have to choose how to respond to that and how to look at it. Our attitude about it is important. And if we use this time where we are at home, forced or unforced, to say, okay, I'm going to call this time with God, solitude, to really hear from him and allow him to quiet my mind. You and I had a conversation recently about why I love it so much in the mountains. And I said to you then, because I feel like my mind is quiet. So that's why I love it in the mountains so much, because I feel like I can actually quiet my mind.
Yeah.
Go up there, sit and listen to the wind blowing through the trees, or if we're by the lake or by a river, I can hear the river, the birds singing. It's just a very beautiful place of solitude for me, not to mention just the beauty, the aesthetic of it. It usually takes me a couple of days when we get up in the mountains to let all that happen, let all that stress just flow out of me. And my shoulders then get relaxed and I'm not holding them up by my ears and I feel like my hands are releasing things.
Well, you and I kind of joke with each other every time we go somewhere. Okay, honey, it's time to unpack.
Yeah.
Sometimes that means downloading the things that are pent up. Other times it just means taking stuff out, spreading it out so you can see what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it means we need to stick stuff in drawers and clean up so we can actually be here without thinking about the mess.
Right.
Unpack is always a loaded statement. It's always contextual. It's about what's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to unpack some things, I think. We're going to talk in one more program here about what it means to have peace in a time of COVID and how we can make it happen within our own lives and families and how we can be modeling this for a world that really doesn't want to practice it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that on our next program. I want to remind our listeners that this article that we've highlighted a couple of times in this series from Philip Yancey, one of the great writers and thinkers of our time, is available by link on our website at our podcast page for these broadcasts. So just go to CompassionRadio.com and check the podcast list for these programs, and you'll find that link to his article. I encourage you strongly to read it. Thanks for joining us again today.
Go ahead, drive the nails in my hand, lie for me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can keep me in the ground. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, and don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers, when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Done for the things.
Sandy and I will be back with more on the gift and the power of solitude on tomorrow's program. I hope you'll tune in then.
There is so much to be thankful for, even in hard times. Right now, I'm very thankful for you. Your gift of time each day is a genuine treasure to us. Knowing that you're being challenged to live out your faith like never before is a wonderful encouragement to us as well. I hope you'll take time today to drop us a note through our website or by email. You can reach me directly at the following address, bramfloria@compassionradio.com. However you reach out, know that we're in this ministry and this work for you and because of you. Just call or write us today to help keep us on the air and in the field. 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And jump in anytime at CompassionRadio.com. We're waiting for you, friends. Hop on board.